Gentlemen, the New England Patriots are going to the Super Bowl for the 11th billionth time. Who are the Patriots of the National Hockey League?
I would have to go with the Chicago Blackhawks.
I would have to agree with that.
I would agree.
The model franchise. God, I hate New England.
But hey, at least the Bruins are struggling. You know, it's
I have nothing against
you
the Bruins.
You got to pick your battle somewhere.
I have nothing against the Boston.
Down
Bruins.
With Claude Julien.
Down with Claude Julien. Well, maybe he'll be Islanders coach someday.
Keep Claude Julien in Boston.
We have a Rangers show to do. Let's go.
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to speak with Pierre McGuire from NBC in just a few minutes. Boys, how are you?
Doing well.
Doing well, Brian.
Rangers are winning hockey games again. Henrik Lundqvist is stopping pucks again. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a great day in the world.
That was an ugly, ugly hockey game Sunday.
Yeah, it just... there's really no other way there to really describe isn't. It other than ugly. And it seems like across the league, there's all sorts of ice issues. Like the Rangers complained last night. I saw Ryan Miller complained. Everyone complains about the Barclays Center. Where's Dan Craig in all this? Shouldn't he be fixing the ice everywhere?
We have another outdoor game coming up in Pittsburgh. So I don't know if he goes from
necessary.
One to the next. Well, look, sells tickets. People watch. Nick, what did you think of that 1-0 victory?
I thought it was a game that the Rangers needed to win. They need to learn how to win ugly. They still really, you feel like the team only wins pretty when they're scoring 5 goals and their cross-ice passes are getting through and they're able to use their speed. But winning ugly is still something that the Rangers are learning how to do. And it was a big win, especially with Henrik Lundqvist maybe getting his feet back under
him a little
bit. I
think that's the biggest thing you take away from Sunday in Detroit. Regardless of how bad the ice was, and it was bad, does Henrik Lundqvist's confidence grow simply because he gets a shutout and he wins his second game in a row?
I think it has to. I think it grows save by save. And I think that that's part of what makes Henrik great and what can also deflate him, that if then there's a double deflection that he lets in, that could deflate him. And
right.
I think that right now he's playing well. He wasn't tested a whole bunch, but he did make a few really good saves last night. He certainly wasn't leaking goals anywhere, and, you know, it's all a process with him.
I think you could even go back to Toronto and say that Lundqvist is visibly better. He is much more confident tracking the puck, and that jumps off just the television screen. You could see him squaring up the shots. He's confident in his movements again, and he's swallowing up the puck as opposed to leaking it through, like you said there, Adam.
Here's the thing with Lundqvist that I've been thinking for the last few months. This might be the new normal. This might be it. It might be one or two really bad streaks a season from Henrik Lundqvist now. That, you know, maybe it's one or two games worse as he gets older. But all in all, you know, he's still a good enough goalie to lead the Rangers right now.
Yeah.
But I think we're probably past the time where, you know, he has a bad four-game stretch in December, and then he's lights out the rest of the way.
I think you're right. I think the biggest thing is that the guys in front of him play better. I mean, that contributed a lot to what we saw from Henrik Lundqvist over the last few weeks. If they can just keep the puck out of their own end and not give up those grade A chances to create even more havoc for Hank, I think that's the biggest thing, right?
Their team defense really needs to be strong, because on the back end, you know, they're really not even a B defensive team. They're more of a CC plus when it comes to just their back end. So the forwards need to really take the initiative to help them out, and whether it be in the offensive zone, you know, making the extra play to keep the forecheck going a little bit, or if it means sacrificing some offense to come back deeper in the zone before you break out, they have to find a way to mesh as a five-man unit to help out the goaltender.
They seem to have their structure just isn't very strong. And what I mean by that is, like, it seems like if one guy makes the wrong move, they never have another guy to cover. If one guy looks the wrong way, they're done. Everything collapses. And that's not, you know, maybe that's a part of the group that they have, maybe that's the players, maybe that's the system, but that's really where the Rangers need to be able to get better. They have to be able to fix their mistakes in front of Henrik Lundqvist when they make them.
Is this a case of you don't know what you've got till it's gone with Mark Stahl?
I think for a little bit. I mean, Mark Stahl's not, you know, the Mark Stahl he was
right.
Pre-concussions, but he's still an above-average NHL defenseman who can play in the top four on probably any team. You know, I think that you certainly want him in there playing big minutes over Kevin Klein, over Adam Clendening, over Brady Shea this point.
No doubt.
I don't think it's the end-all, be-all, though. And really, again, looking forward, I think it could be a benefit that he misses some of these games because you're seeing that Clendening can have a positive effect. He might be playing his way into the lineup here with Klein and Girardi. I mean, it's a tough call. Look, he hasn't been bad. Sure, he's made some mistakes. I want to say it was the Toronto game where he made the brutal turnover.
That play in Toronto was off the charts bad.
Yeah, yes. But we see that. It's not like you don't see that once, twice a week from Girardi and or Klein either.
True. But, again, I think Adam Clendening is what he is. I think he's a spare part at the end of the day. I don't think he is a mainstay top six, 15 to 18 minutes a night.
I think that, like last year, the Rangers have a top six group of defense. And then two or three staircases down is number seven. Like, they'll play that guy if they have to.
There is a drop.
But they're going with this top six, whether that means running Girardi and Klein into the ground this year and last year and not giving Dylan McElrath the chance. Like, I like Clendening, but he's not, to me, one of the top six guys on this team right now.
Feel like we do this every week, but Michael Grabner keeps scoring more goals. He's up to 21 now. I know he's been moved around as far as the top 12 forwards go, but this has been a remarkable season for Mike. There's no way around it. I sound like a broken record, but this has been an unbelievable season for Michael Grabner.
It's been crazy. Yeah. Like, you know, in the way that there's no other way to describe yesterday's game than ugly, there's no other way to describe this season other than remarkable and crazy. I mean, he's just converting on all of these chances that, you know, he used to get or he got. He just didn't score. Now they're going in, and it's just like, oh, okay.
He was the perfect addition to the lineup, and he might even be having a larger impact than Carl Hagelin really ever did when push comes to shove for the Rangers. Yeah, I mean, and he's the perfect guy for them in a sense that when they get pinned in their own zone, Grabner can go 0-60, you know, in a heartbeat and turn what looks like a bad 3, 4, 5 minutes for the Rangers into a goal. That quick strike ability, I mean, that shorthanded goal in Toronto to recognize that Hayes was going to get there first, then create the lane for Hayes to make the pass, a great pass by Hayes, and then he just rips one top cheese over the glove hand of a pretty darn good goaltender who's really starting to establish himself in Toronto. I mean, Grabner really does it all for the Rangers.
It's funny how a hockey season works. Like, when we saw the signing back in July or August, whatever it was, like, okay, you know, we'll see how he does in camp, and maybe he'll make the team, score 5 to 10 goals, chip in on the PK. And lo and behold, he should be in the All-Star game.
I mean, I think I had Grabner, you know, 10 to 12 goals and being the most maddening player on the team. You know, that one guy every year who gets all the chances but can't score. And we were all prepared for that. And then all of a sudden, he's the guy who can't not score.
I mean, I was asking for him last year, and if you would have told me that he scored 15 this year, I would have, I mean, sign him up again for another contract after this 2-year deal. I would have been shocked that he scored 15. Never mind, he's over 20 and in the top 5 in the NHL in goals. I mean, it's really unbelievable.
Before we get to Pierre, how about JT Miller? I mean, consistency was always a problem with this guy. He's been one of their more consistent forwards all year.
He, you know, whatever people want to say about how Alain Vigneault treated him and yo-yoing him, and similarly, you know, the way that John Tortorella did with Chris Kreider, and that took a while. Like, Miller's become a real player for the Rangers. Like, he's really now part of this core. You can see why he was a first-round pick. He's not just scoring. He's playing hard in all areas. And, you know, he's got an immense amount of talent that just it meshes really well with the group that they have.
It seemed like for years now you were waiting for the next step from Kreider, the next step from Miller, the next step from Hayes, and now it's here. I mean, you've really seen it's not just Miller because Kreider's done it. And talk about Kevin Hayes. I mean, he was very good against Toronto, and he was great against Detroit until that injury.
Yeah, we'll talk about the injury a little bit later in the show. Joining us now on Rangers Blue Line is NBC's Pierre Maguire. Pierre, Brian Compton, and Nick Lacazza here in New York. How are you?
Hi, Brian and Nick. Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. All right, that was no Picasso yesterday in Detroit, but the main thing from the Rangers' perspective is they found a way to get 2 points, right?
Yeah, no, Detroit's made it tough on the opposition. You can look at all their games going back to Martin Luther King Day when they played the Montreal Canadiens to a 1-0 win, but it was not really an artistic impression type of a game. Go look at their come-from-behind win against Boston after they got close to tying it and then taking the lead. they played a little bit of a different style. And then obviously on Friday night up in Buffalo, again, a little bit of a different style. So Detroit's trying to do what they can do to hang in the games. And I totally understand what their coaching staff trying to do. But, yes, that was not an artistic kind of impression game. No way.
Pierre, did you see anything out of Henrik Lundqvist that leads you to believe he's on the road to becoming Henrik Lundqvist again?
Well, the biggest thing about Henrik is he's a battler. And that's what I saw yesterday. He was a battler, whether he was using his head to make saves. He did it twice in the third period. And he's very well aware of what he was doing on those saves, by the way. Unorthodox method of stopping the puck, but he's really well aware of it. It comes probably from the soccer background. But the other thing is just staying tight to the post, being square to the shooter, not cheating on shots, not guessing on where the puck's coming from. He got exposed and looked really bad in the Dallas game. I think everybody knows that. Had a little bit of a bounce back against Toronto. But I thought he really bounced back yesterday in terms of his battle level, and that's really important for him.
Yeah, and Pierre, we were saying before you came on, who cares if it's ugly? I mean, he gets a shutout. That's got to do something for his confidence, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't think he was ugly yesterday. I thought he was on it.
Yeah.
And again, he has to, and he knows this better than anybody. I remember going back to watch him play when he was in for Lunder, playing in the World Championships in 05 or the Olympics in 06. When he's really on it, and those were the years he was really on it, he battled and battled unbelievably hard.
Pierre, a lot of the Rangers' young players, whether it be Hayes, Miller, Chris Kreider, seem to have taken the next step for the Rangers here. Do you see that carrying over down the stretch run?
I think that's such a good question. The answer is yes, I do. Now, I don't know how significantly injured Kevin Hayes is. You know, he didn't play the third period yesterday. That would be a substantial loss if he's out for a long time. But Kevin's probably the most improved player in the league. He has had a phenomenal year. Biggest reason why he dropped 22 pounds in the offseason, you can see he's quicker. I know Eddie Olczyk talked about it yesterday, as did I, in terms of his back-checking ability and his ability with the puck in confined areas, and his distribution skills are great. So he's really looking like he's about to become a real legitimate top-six guy. Stepan's always been a very good player. I think everybody knows that from when he came out of Wisconsin. And Kreider just continues to evolve. As long as Chris Kreider knows he's a bull in a china shop and plays that way, he's lethal. Once he starts to be a trickster, he's no good. He's got to be a bull in a china shop.
How about JT, Pierre? The consistency was always the biggest issue with Miller's game. Looks like he's finally found his way.
I can't say enough about JT. Just the way he's preparing himself for games. I had a chance to have some pretty nice conversation with him over the weekend in Detroit. He took his billets out for dinner the night before the game. I made reference to that after he scored. That was the payoff. I'm a real fan of his. I think he's a real good team man. He's a little bit shy and conservative, so it may be some people misinterpret that. But I think the biggest thing about him is he's really starting to find out what he has to do to be a real legitimate offensive force in the league.
What's your take on the Rangers right now? That I think they've established themselves as a top 10 team, yet they're fourth in the Metropolitan. Do you see them making a run here? Are they one of the legit contenders?
Oh, absolutely. As long as they can keep it together in terms of injury. I had a chance to visit with Mark Stahl yesterday. He seems to feel that he's starting to make some significant inroads in terms of getting better. That would be huge for them defensively. But the Metro's the toughest division in hockey. It used to be the Central for a long time, and then for a short period of time it was the Pacific. But the Metro is ridiculous.
Yeah, sure is.
I've done Washington a bunch lately. They're for real, real big time good. Columbus is not going away. That was an amazing come from behind victory against Ottawa on Sunday night. Pittsburgh's just lighting it up. Only one team scored more goals than the Rangers this year, and it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then obviously you have New York. So you look at the Metro, it's just a fanatical division. It's just so brutally barbaric, but it's that way it is. But I do think the Rangers are one of the top 10 teams in the league for sure and a legit contender.
Pierre, it looks like Jimmy Vesey's really hit a wall here, one goal in the past 17 games or so. Can he snap out of this? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, he can snap out of it. It looked like in the third period he almost got it going there. He had a couple of real valiant rushes. This is not unnormal or lacking normality for a young player coming out of college. This is about when most of them hit the wall in their first year. It's just normal. It's what happens. Junior players have a little bit of an advantage. They play a 70-plus game schedule. College players play about a 34-game schedule. It's really significantly different. And college players are a weekend league. Junior players play every other night. So it's just totally different. Jimmy's getting used to it. But I would say this more than anything else about Jimmy. When he's going, and he'll be going soon, I think he'll break through this wall probably in the next 7 to 10 days. You'll see. He'll be back to scoring.
I think it's safe to say the Rangers are going to go defense, or at least look that way come the trade deadline. Pierre, you think there's any targets out there that are going to become available that they'll have their eyes on?
I think everybody's kind of looking at what's going to happen with Arizona. People are looking at what's going to happen with Colorado. Those are really the two teams that are significantly out of it right now. I haven't heard a lot of names in terms of defensemen that are out there. I've heard potential names out there, but I don't like to do that. I don't like to put names out there if I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But what I would say is this, is that it's so fluid right now just because the standings are so tight. If just look at the Eastern Conference, Tampa Bay's at the bottom of the barrel. You have to think at some point they're going to make a push.
Right.
So it's just, it's a real fluid time, especially in the Eastern Conference. But I would say right after the usually this is the way it works. If you're double-digit points out by the All-Star break, chances are, and only one team's broken the mold since 2005 with that statistic, and that would be Ottawa 2 years ago. If you're double-digit points out, you're not making it, and that's when teams usually look to start trading people.
Yeah, Pierre, that's a great point. I mean, you look at these standings. I think the Islanders are right back in this race, too, for the second wild card. So if you're a buyer or a potential buyer, where are you going to go to add a piece?
Well, that's why I mentioned Arizona, and that's why I mentioned Colorado. And potentially, by the time we get to the All-Star break, some teams may start to fall out. Maybe Boston realizes, because they've played more games than anybody else, that they're not going to be legit. Or maybe Detroit takes a couple more steps back and they realize, uh-oh, we better start moving guys. Or maybe, and again, these are all maybes, Florida realizes, uh-oh, it's just not happening for us this year. And tonight's a pretty significant night for some teams in the league. For Los Angeles against the Rangers, it's a huge night. For Florida at Arizona, if Florida loses that game in Arizona tonight, that's pretty significant. Obviously, Colorado's pretty much out of it, so people know that. But I think the next few days before the All-Star game, pretty significant nights for some of these teams.
Yeah, I think all the way down the stretch, the race for that second wild card is going to be off the charts. Pierre, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Anytime, you guys. Take care.
Thanks
See you,
so
Brian.
Much. See you next. Thanks again to Pierre McGuire. It's always great to have him here on Rangers Blue Line. Let's talk trades. Let's keep that train going here a little bit. I know everybody brings up Kevin Shattenkirk's name all the time. If the Blues are in the race, I don't see why St. Louis would trade him. Obviously, he would be a great fit here in New York. What do you think, Adam?
I think Kevin Shattenkirk would be a great fit. I don't think he would fix the Rangers' defense by any
means. He's a better version of Dan Boyle.
Yeah, Dan Boyle, Keith Yandel. He's going to make them better offensively, and he's a solid enough player. And you know what? When it comes to Shattenkirk, it's a matter of, do you take a run at him now and give up something, or do you assume, based upon all the reports, that he's just going to show up at your doorstep on July 1? And I go back and forth on whether or not I want to make sure I have him or just wait for him.
Unless St. Louis gets desperate and Shattenkirk says, I'm not signing the extension, and they don't get a real offer, I don't think you make a play for Kevin Shattenkirk until July 1st. Like Adam was saying, the guy that I'm going after this trade deadline is Mike Green, if the price is right.
You love Mike Green.
I think he'd be a great fit. Look, I mean, I don't think you're going to have to pay a ton to get him. He's got one more year on his contract. It is a little pricey. That's the only thing.
How do you make that work?
You don't want to say it would take you out of the Shattenkirk running, but Gorton would have to
Detroit
get very
Detroit is not
creative.
Taking Dan Girardi for Mike Green.
No, but they would probably take Klein, and if it meant Lindbergh or Fast.
Well, Klein is cheaper.
And a draft pick, I don't think that's an awful offer.
I think it would be a lot to get Mike Green, only because I think Detroit would have to eat a lot of the money, because I don't think the Rangers want to put themselves in a position to already take themselves out of free agency.
And you guys look at the way that the East is shaping up for that second wild card spot. Detroit will probably still be in it at the deadline. So do they want to trade Mike Green?
I don't think they will. I think that they might want to try and add a little bit if they can, because they're Detroit. And I want them to make the playoffs. I love that streak. I think that's a great thing.
It really
for
is
hockey.
Remarkable.
But it's funny you mentioned Green, because during yesterday's game, you know, that's the guy I haven't thought about in years, because he's in Detroit now. And I was thinking, like, huh, I wonder how Mike Green's doing. You know, he might be a decent guy, like, but you know, I don't really know what's available to them at this point.
It doesn't look like there's going to be a ton of names on the market, because there aren't many sellers. But if you go to Detroit with two NHL players, you know, if you the drop off from Klein to Green isn't dramatic. That's not taking Detroit out of the playoff race. And if you add an Oscar Lindberg, let's say, and they get a young third, fourth line player, and then who knows what you have to give up on the draft pick side, I don't think that's a terrible offer that gets you in the ballpark. I don't know if that gets it done. They might want more, especially if they're eating money, which the Rangers would probably need them to do. But to me, Green's a guy that would take some pressure and maybe a lot of pressure off Ryan McDonough on that power play. He's the guy that you give the keys to. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a right-handed shot, which the Rangers are desperate for. I mean, you have Zibanejad back now, but he's not really running the number one unit yet. And he's a guy that's run some pretty darn successful power plays in the NHL.
Not against it. The Stars would really have to align, though, for the Rangers to make it such a deal work. How about this Blues-Devils rumor? Have you guys heard about this with Corey Schneider?
Yes. I've heard Schneider's name thrown around in some ways as, you know, the Devils could look to move him because they're still, you know, he's at one point in his career.
Right.
The Devils are at another point in their transition. And I think that that's really interesting, especially because Keith Kincaid's been pretty good.
He has been good. And if you can get Jaden Schwartz, I mean, that would be pretty interesting.
That would be a real good get. I don't think the Devils are that far away. The defense needs some
rebuilding.
They're
not there yet.
They're not that good yet, but they have pieces to build around. You have Henrik and Zajac, who are kind of your 2-3 centers. If Zaka turns into anything, you have Hall. Camilleri's got to have some gas left in the tank. You know, Kyle Palmieri's a top six winger. They have pieces there. I mean, that's not to say that they're anywhere close. They still need to add some, but I don't think that they're terribly, terribly far away from
I think in Schneider's case, the one thing we learned from last year's Stanley Cup final is you don't have to spend a zillion bucks on a goaltender. Just don't.
And yeah. I think when it comes to the Devils, and this isn't a Devils podcast, obviously, but, you know, you look at Schneider and where he's going, and then you look at Taylor Hall, and he's a free agent in a couple years, and is he going to want to stay there? And, you know, it's just like it doesn't seem like right now the paths are going to converge the right way for them.
Yeah.
That if you can go out and get a massive haul for Corey Schneider and then not necessarily see that much of a drop-off, that's something Ray Shiro would have to consider.
Before we get back to the Rangers' injuries here, the Islanders in it? They back in it, boys?
I think they definitely
the Islanders. Are they back in the race?
Back.
Doug Waite's team?
Look at the standings. Look at them.
They're
5 points behind Philly with 3 games in hand.
You can't count out a team that has John Tavares as the number one center.
Who's finally playing like John Tavares again.
You knew it was coming. Look, some guys go through slumps, but I mean, Tavares was just too good to not turn it on. I don't know if I expected 5 goals in 6 games.
Right.
And what was it, like 7
and he's not going
to
maintain that pace either. They need other guys to
No, but
step
he's going to be better than – it's somewhere in between what he was and where he is right now, and that's still a top 10 player in the NHL, or up there at least.
Yes or no, Adam?
I wouldn't say that they're out of it, but I also wouldn't say that they're in it yet. They're in that same position Detroit's in where theoretically it's close, but there's about 615 teams between – top and bottom that you have to go over.
Totally agree. You can check out the Islanders Point Blank podcast with myself and Mike Carver. We're going to talk about the coaching change. Doug Waite. Islanders are 2-0-1 since Waite replaced Jack Capuano. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point Blank podcast along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. All right, Kevin Hayes, lower body is going to be reevaluated at some point Monday. Hopefully this is not anything too serious.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, serious or not, I'd give him the next 2 games off. You know, I'm always very conservative when it comes to injuries. Give the guys off the time if they have it. You know, and you've got a break coming here. I would just, you know, give him the time off.
I'm with Adam. Get him healthy because you're going to need Kevin Hayes down the stretch. Really, the Rangers offense, based on depth, you need all of your top 10, 11 guys here that they have in order to have a chance to make a run in the playoffs. And the way Kevin Hayes has played this year, the impact that he had, whether it was losing those 18 or if it was 22 pounds, however much it was, they need him playing at that high level.
Yeah, there's only 2 games. There's tonight's game and Wednesday night's game against Philly and then the All-Star break. So just sit him. Even if he can play, I would just sit him.
Absolutely.
Mark Stahl, Adam, what's the latest?
Probably after the All-Star break, along with Jesper Fast and Antti Raanta. You know, there's no reason to rush any of these guys. Stahl, it seems like he's just kind of taking things really slow and that maybe things will start to ramp up right after the break.
And it gives the Rangers a chance to use Nick's idea, play Adam Clendenning like 30 minutes, right?
Or acquire Mike Green right now.
Trade for him on the spot there. 2 games that are winnable, though, here for the Rangers.
Of course.
I mean, I think you got to at least take one of them. If you could find a way to get 3 points, it's a darn good way to go into the break after losing 3 straight.
Agreed. Fellas, great show. See you next week. Thanks again to Pierre McGuire. Enjoy the All-Star break. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.